We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. And Gabe, the All-Star festivities were fabulous. It was so much fun to watch the players compete, cheer for each other. Allie Quigley is a machine. And just so much fun always to watch the camaraderie and the sisterhood of the WNBA.
Oh, it was so much fun. Allie Quigley, I forgot to clip. Oh, God, people on Twitter, I'm sorry. I told you guys I was going to get her Moneyball rack and put it to music. Because it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful shooting. And it's something that I'll never be able to do. Like, there's no way, right? Like, there's no way I could ever do that. It was just incredible to see how much in the zone she was. It was really fun, the three-point contest. I already registered all my complaints on a different platform. So if you want to go read that. But the other side of it was that it was really fun to see the players play. And I think Ariel Atkins acquitted herself very well for the Mystics. So I was happy to see her get her moment of shine, even though Allie Quigley was just unstoppable in that final run.
Yeah, it was crazy. But it was so much fun. And then, you know, for all the players to have the number 42 for Brittany Griner on in the second half, I thought that was just a collective inclusivity moment for the league. And it just encompasses everything that the WNBA is all about. So the whole thing was just really great to see the togetherness of it all.
Oh, and shouts to Sylvia Fowles for dunking.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
and
knocking
out that three, too. She hit the three. She got the run out dunk. Like, go ahead, Syl.
Coming off injury, I mean, we're going to do our power ranking, so we'll definitely talk about the links and what they're doing. But, I mean, you know, I did not expect a dunk coming off injury for her. So that was really, really super fun. And I hope, you know, everyone had a good time at the event. Seems like they did. I had some FOMO of not going. I also had some FOMO because I was watching Jordan, your son's highlights from his AAU tournament. I was like, this seems really fun. I don't know how much fun it was to watch like five games in a row, like I'm sure you did, but that's why we could do a podcast last week, folks, because Christy lost her voice.
I lost my voice. I mean, you know, I'm the cheer mom. I cheer for all the boys really loudly, apparently. And my voice went off the rails on Friday morning. I woke up and I was like, you know, counting to five and I couldn't hear anything. And so I text Gabe. I was like, Gabe, we can't do the pod today. My voice is like gone, like all the way gone. So I'm recovered now. Hallelujah. And he had a great time. He was down in Atlanta for the Under Armour circuit. And apparently, because I don't add up, people say like, how many points did he have? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just cheering wildly, you know? But apparently he averaged like 25 and 10 and, you know, and he had some assists down there too. So I don't know, maybe four assists, I don't know. And about four or five blocks. He had some really good blocks.
Wow.
But it was fun just to watch him perform and compete and just stay stoic, you know? I don't know how he does that. But I think I played like that, maybe not like statistically, yeah. because I think he's like beyond way beyond what I was able to do as a player. But I think for like the mentality of it all, I think I was, you know, very inside myself. And I see that in him. Like he's very like, you know, just get the job done, move on to the next thing, you know, team makes a play and he's like, let's go. You know, he's very calm, yeah. a calm player, but very efficient. So it was fun. It was fun to watch him cheer for him.
Well, yeah, Jordan Scott, folks. Remember the name. Continuing the great basketball tradition in your family. Also, if Jim Larrañaga is listening, just give him a call. Just, or you can give me a call. You can give me That's a call. Right. We'll work it out. We need some talent down there at the U. Always looking for talent. All right. The other big news, though, that I wanted to ask you about that came out last week. The news that the Phoenix Mercury are shopping Skylar Diggins-Smith in trades, according to Howard Megdell. Tomorrow is the trade deadline. You're probably listening to this on the trade deadline, which would be Friday, July 15th. We're recording this on Thursday, July 14th. So if anything happens in between that time that we didn't know about it. Skylar is apparently, just hasn't gotten along with the new regime there. Things are kind of going sideways in Phoenix and they're looking for trades for her. I think it's interesting. I don't think a trade's gonna happen, but it is very interesting to hear this type of reporting come out. So what was your reaction to that news?
I was surprised. I mean, I was also surprised that, you know, Tina Charles went to Seattle. So I mean, I guess just take everything as it comes to you. But I know for Skylar Diggins-Smith, I mean, we know her, you know, to be a staunch competitor. She wants everything out of the game because she gives everything to the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on in Phoenix. Like, just some of those comments, you know, when Vanessa Nygaard made the comment about it's not an all-star game in Chicago without Diana Taurasi there. And I get that premise, but Skylar was there. So I think she took offense to, well, what am I, you know, like, why am I there? And then she just put that clown emoji up on the tweet, man. Yeah. And I thought that was, you know, I'm like, something might not be going okay there.
What would be your reaction? Like, I know you didn't play in the age of Twitter, which seems wonderful. It just seems so much better. But
I'm winning because of that. Yeah.
If something like that happened where you had your coach kind of like in a way, and obviously it wasn't intentional from Vanessa Nygaard, I'm not saying that, but just in a way, kind of like, you know, say something that rubbed you the wrong way. Like, what would be your reaction to that as a player? Not what you would do publicly, but how would you feel about it?
I would feel like I would want to post something like that. But would I do it? No. And that's just me. Everybody's different, you know, and what's right for me is not right for somebody else. I get it. However, I think it was a different time then too. When I was playing, it's like, man, I'm not doing anything to mess up my opportunity to play. So I didn't want to say anything, but I took it and I received it. I didn't like some things that I heard, trust and believe, but I didn't say anything, man. I just wanted, I'm not rocking this boat because I'm playing.
Right.
Bump that. I'm not ruining it. So, and I don't want to, I'm not saying Skylar shouldn't have said anything, whatever.
She's in a different position than you were when you were playing. You were a college player. Obviously, I don't think, first off, if you did it in your senior year, you would have continued playing.
No.
But like Scott.
I'm not saying anything. No, but do you ask me what I would do? Yeah, so that's what I would do, you know, is take it and use it as fuel, you know? And I think whenever things were said like that, right? Or were said, and I'm like, that didn't sound right to me. Or that was like disrespectful to me or whatever. I would take that comment and use it as a log on the fire and play harder and go harder and do whatever. So I don't know. I mean, social media is a platform where anybody can say anything. And so I think it's just a different dynamic. And as something you have to like work through, and who knows what exactly that emoji meant.
Yeah.
Like that could mean anything. That could be like you know, for the people not selecting Diana Taurasi to be an all-star, and it could be the premise of that clowny movie. Like, if you take it, like, you can look at it a lot of different ways. Yeah. It's not like, I don't think she was calling, I mean, for me, I don't think she was calling Vanessa Nygaard a clown.
Oh, I think she was.
You do?
I absolutely do.
Well, I think it's like, hoping that she wasn't, maybe.
I mean, like, it's like, it's too much of a coincidence to be like, well, you know, that happens, and then a few days later, we get the report that they're shopping her in trades. Yeah, I think it was definitely on purpose. But since, all right, just like to, for the Fuel the Fire thing, so that's June 30th that happened.
Yeah.
Skylar in games since then, 25 points, 22 points, 13 points, 32 points. The only bad, actually, she had a bad game against New York and they won. But the other, I mean, the other three games, she was absolutely unstoppable.
She's gone.
And, you know, so what I want to do now, though, is I want to run some fake trades by you.
Uh-oh.
Because our good friend of the pod, and Herkoop Stats contributor, extraordinaire, Richard Cohen, in his WNBA Dissected weekly column, ran through some trades. He's going to do the rest of the trades tomorrow. He did six teams today. He's doing six teams tomorrow. He's also going to try to pull off some sort of like 12-team mega trade involving every team in the league, which... God bless him. Richard is a bit of a mad scientist with this stuff. But I want to run some trades by you.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want to run through a couple of them that I think were really good.
All right.
So the first one from Atlanta is he has Erica Wheeler, Ari McDonald, a 2023 first, which would likely be either Washington's or Atlanta's own. I would guess they would want to trade Washington's. For Diggins Smith straight up, that works with the math and the salary cap. So Wheeler and McDonald and a first to Phoenix, Diggins Smith back to Atlanta, and they get her for this year and next year because she's under contract for next year.
Oof. I don't know if I like that.
Okay. For Phoenix?
I don't know if I like that for Phoenix.
Okay.
Because, you know, the experience level of the players who are there, I think that would be really hard for the younger players to come in. And I know Wheeler has some experience, but, you know, for Ari McDonald, I know, you know, getting her back, you know, to where she was a star collegiately at Arizona would be a fun marketing thing. But I just think that it would be a tough mid-season change to make for a young player in her second season. And I'm sure she'd be adaptable and all of that, but that's a lot to ask for a young player just to drop and pick up in the middle of the season and make a push for the playoffs.
Well, so here, this is actually an interesting point. Like if you're Phoenix,
yeah,
you know, obviously it's really difficult to make this trade. Cause usually when there's a trade, when there's a star player like this, whether it's in the NBA, the WNBA, in baseball, whatever, right? If you're trading a star player.
Yeah.
You're probably looking for future assets because that's what you're changing your team. You're rebuilding, you're changing modes from being a contender with the star to rebuilding without the player.
Right.
For Phoenix, obviously this is a bit more difficult because they have Diana Taurasi who, you know, who knows how many years she has left. They were planning on contending this year after making the finals last year. And I think they would certainly want to, they have to consider that and consider the importance of this year, making the playoffs this year and giving themselves a chance this year versus planning for the future after Diana.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think this move makes a little bit of sense. I agree with you. I don't think I'd do it. But it makes a little bit of sense because they get Wheeler who can help them this year. And Richard made all these points. And they get Ari who could be a piece for the future. And like you said, nice marketing piece. And we know that Phoenix does like their Arizona players, as we saw with DeAndre. And they at least like them for their rookie contract.
Right.
And then they let them go. But so I think it's an interesting thing there to get both future assets and players that can help this year. Right. I think that's what they would want. But, you know, I do agree with you that it's a little bit low of a return. Can I move on to one that I really find interesting?
Talk to me, Gabe. What do you have?
Connecticut.
Oh.
So the impetus for Connecticut would be obviously that they lost Jasmine Thomas and they want to make the finals this year.
They do.
They are good enough to do that. They may be good enough to do that as constituted, right? But yeah. Skylar gives them just something that they've never had before and that sort of lead guard score.
Okay.
So the offer that Richard has put together is Natisha Heidemann or Nia Claudin, one of those two players, and Brianna Jones for Skylar Diggins Smith. Okay. Explain to me why you said ooh when I mentioned the Bree Jones.
It's just Bree Jones, man. She has been phenomenal and really an anchor on the interior for Connecticut. I think they need her. I think it's got to be somebody else. I mean, those two guards, okay. You can go or either or of those guards, Claudin or Heidemann, either one of them. But, oh, man, it would be really hard to give up Jones. I don't think I would do it.
Well, and Jones has been, a lot of times, possibly the entire year, like the second most important player on this team.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
oh,
it'd be a huge change to do in the middle of the season. Now, Connecticut does have experience making a change right before the playoffs last year.
True.
It didn't. I don't know. We could say it caused them to lose. I don't think that's what happened, but they have done it. So they're not. It's not something that they're completely unwilling to do. But I'm with you. I just think, because Richard mentioned this, the reason why I think one of the reasons why this would make sense for Connecticut is because Bree Jones would be a free agent after this year. And they would really struggle to find cap space. Yeah. They really would.
Yeah, agreed.
And apparently this trade works out with their cap space next year. I haven't looked at all the numbers. Richard knows them. So if he says it's true. So I don't know. I mean, like, does it make them better? Because, Bree Jones is a great player. I think Skylar Diggins-Smith is better in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
I just don't. That would be really tough to think about if I was either GM. I don't know if I'd do. I don't know.
I wouldn't. I don't think I could do it just because I think that, I mean, if you could do it without losing Bree Jones, which I don't think you can do that deal without giving a player like that up. Mm-mm. But if you could do it and keep Bree Jones, I would like that and keep everybody, pat or give some, picks for next year or something like that. Throw that in instead of a player like her. If you can make that happen, I think I would like that mix with Skylar Diggins-Smith and Connecticut, but with Bree Jones in there. If they can find a way not to lose her, I'd like it.
I mean,
well, that's probably not possible, right? Like,
I don't think so. I mean, unless Phoenix would like something built around Jasmine Thomas.
Right.
I mean, you could send Jasmine Thomas and Natisha Heidemann. I'm pretty, well, actually, I'm not sure that works. I'm not sure that works money-wise. I don't know. I think it would have to be Bree Jones, and I'm with you. I don't think I'd do that.
Can't do it.
He has a trade here for Dallas. I'm going to skip over it just because, let's do Dallas.
Okay.
For obvious reasons, there's some issues with Skylar going back to Dallas, franchise she already forced her way out of under the same management, by the way. So he has Marina Mabry, Isabel Harrison, Jasmine Dickey, and maybe Chicago's 2023 first round pick, which Dallas has, for Diggins-Smith and Megan Gustafson. Who are you saying no from? Who's saying no there?
I'm saying no to Dallas. Dallas would not do that, man.
Okay. Why?
Dallas would not, because that's their whole bag. What are you doing? Like, that's like.
But it's Skylar Diggins-Smith. Skylar Diggins-Smith is worth Mabry, Harrison. Harrison already doesn't want to be there. She's made it very clear.
But I'm saying, like, when she gets there, who's she going to be playing with? That's what I'm saying. You're giving up the whole team.
You have Arika and Satu. No, I mean, losing Marina is a big deal. I'm not going
to. That is. And Harrison, to me, I think, Isabel. All right.
Isabel, sorry.
Oh, she wants to be Isabel. No, I think, like, if I'm getting traded somewhere, I'm just, I've never been in that situation.
Yeah.
But I will say, if I'm being traded somewhere, I would like for something to be in the cupboard when I get there and not open that thing up and see nothing. I mean, not nothing, but
they have their three best players still. They have their best player still on the team.
Depth. Like maybe there's some saucers up there, but I need some glasses and some plates. Like we need it full. Like I don't want to see just three cups sitting up there. Come on, man.
But you really don't lose much. I mean, like Harrison just had. I mean, you can replace Harrison's minutes for Dallas because she hasn't even been playing that much. I mean, last three games for her, 8 minutes, 13 minutes, 14 minutes. We have Natasha Cloud over here saying free Izzy, you know, on Twitter talking about Isabel Harrison. So it's like I would do it for and you lose Mabry, and that stinks because she's a big part of what they're doing. She obviously has a great relationship with Arike Gumbuwale. They work really well together.
Yeah,
but you got to pay her next year. You got to pay her next year.
Yeah.
So I would definitely do it if I was Dallas. I don't think I'd do that if I'm Phoenix. And I think this is what it comes down to. We could go through all these traits, but I think my general point here is I'm not going to do this right now if I'm Phoenix, because like we're going to get pennies on the dollar, and our best chance to win this year, frankly, is with an unhappy Skylar Diggins-Smith. Even when she's unhappy, she's playing great. Like
she's falling.
Just let her go. Like, you know, and you see what happens. Maybe it's not going to be sunshine and rainbows, but it may be okay. So that's my take. Yeah. Do you agree with that? Like, just let's just ride it out for the rest of the season, and then off season, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I like that just in general, as a coach, that's already like, you have to play to the strengths of your personnel, and midstream, like you're already like right now, it's like you're retooling your philosophy, and this is what we're going to do to ride it out in the second half and make this push for a championship. So to throw a new person in, I don't care who they are, and then to lose the people that were already in the system, man, that's a lot to calculate for a coach. And not that they can't do it, because they know how to be adaptable and we get it, but that's hard to ask of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, give it your best shot now. Let's take three out, put one in, and figure it out on the way. Like, you have four games to get some chemistry, and then hopefully that's all you need, and you're ready to go for the rest of the stretch. Like, I don't think that's fair for the coaches either. Like,
especially for a first-year head coach who's already having a rough go of it. I agree. It's just like, what are we going to – How much better does this help? How much does this help us? Even if everyone's unhappy, and I'd rather just have one unhappy 3 month stretch, and then we're done with it, and then we can figure it out in the off season than trying to pull this off in the season. And Richard does that too. And I would say the general feeling is that nothing's going to happen with Sky.
I'm here for that. Like, I'm here for that on all aspects. Like, if I'm a player, I don't know if I want to do that either. Like, unhappy or not, like whatever's going on or not. Like, I'm just trying to, you know, do the best I can with the opportunity I have in front of me with this team.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, figure it out after it's over with. And who knows what that will be. But I just think that's just the better way to go.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. And they are tied for the 8th seed right now. So they're currently one more win again in the playoffs at the moment. So I think they're doing okay. So we'll check back in with the Mercury in a minute. When we do our power rankings, but I think both our feelings is that just leave it. Just leave it.
Yeah.
Let it simmer. See what the final product
marinate
is.
Marinate that thing up. Marinate it out.
All right. Do you want to do our power rankings now?
Yes. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Do it.
All right. I want to start at the bottom because I did my tier system. We did this last time. Actually, let me do a quick recap of what happened when we did our preseason power ranking. So this is right before the season started. Let me recap that. So we had before the season started, we had I had the Connecticut Sun, the Seattle Storm, and the Chicago Sky in my top tier. You had the same three teams in the top three. So you had Connecticut first, Chicago second, Seattle third.
Okay.
That's to start the year. We both had Vegas fourth.
Okay.
Then I had another tier. So Vegas was in the tier by themselves for me. I had another tier here with another three teams, or we agree with the three teams in that pairing, in the 5, 6, 7 pairing. I had the Mystics at 5, the Lynx at 6, the Mercury at 7. You had the Mercury at 5, the Mystics at 6, and the Lynx at 7. Then we had another tier with three teams, and we agreed on all placements here.
Yeah.
The Sparks, the Wings, and the Liberty in that order, 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
And then we had a last tier with Atlanta and Indiana. Famously, Christy said Indiana was above Atlanta. And she also made her prediction.
Darn it.
That the Indiana.
Is that the post-it?
Oh, I can take it off. I can take it off. It was under my laptop.
Darn it.
Christy said the Fever would have 6 wins by the All-Star break. Christy, how many wins do the Fever have currently?
Not 6.
They have 5 wins, baby. Let's go.
Boom.
No one circles the wagons like the Indiana Fever. 6 straight losses before the All-Star break. Christy was talking smack on this podcast, saying, Gabe, you're going to have to do the shooting test. We're going to Berry Farms. She had the plans ready. She was going to rent a camera. And guess what? We're sitting at home. The Fever lost 6 straight games, and they stay at 5 wins. They're 5-20 on the season. Shouts to Carlos Knox. Shouts to Lynn Dunn. Thank you for saving me, because there's absolutely no chance I could have got through that. Like, pick up the other week, and I was dying. So thank you very much.
Lucky.
Friends at the Indiana Fever. I hope you guys are rewarded with the first overall pick in the upcoming draft. And that's where my power rankings start. I want to start at the bottom with the Indiana Fever. They're in a tier by themselves at the bottom.
That's not
so much because they're like, I mean, they have been bad, but it's not because they're so awful that they have to be in a tier by themselves because they're so awful. It's just like everyone else is kind of trying to get to the 8 seed.
Yeah.
They're not, they're trying to develop their young players. So,
right. You
know, I don't know. Do you want to say anything about the Indiana Fever?
First, darn it. I thought they would definitely get 6 wins. And I was definitely down for the Berry Farms 3-point shooting situation that you were going to have to go through. But I mean, we didn't bet anything for me, so I'm off the hook, right?
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, I kept trying to, and she kept changing the subject.
I did.
Deflecting.
So it's a win-win. So for both of us. But no, I mean, Indiana, they're trying to, like you said, develop their younger players and get them those minutes and that experience. And you can't teach that, you know, they're getting game experience on a professional level and they're going to be better for it. And they're going to get some great picks, you know, coming up. I mean, what do they keep? 5 of their 7 picks this year from the draft, and they're all young. So, you know, now they're getting another crop next year and continue to develop them and move them forward and watch them evolve. And I think they're going to be better for this experience, although it's uncomfortable right now with the wins not coming like they want. But they have what it takes, I think. Just they have that metal. They have that workhorse in them, but they just don't have the experience. So they're getting that.
No, I think, and you see it. You see the stuff that is going well for them. I mean, I think Alyssa Smith and Emily Engsler, and you know, they've players that have proven that they belong at this level and can really be something special at this level. I think for a franchise in their position, that's absolutely the best thing you can hope for. And also, Kelsey Mitchell has been phenomenal this year.
He really has.
If they had won 6 games, she may have been in the All-Star game. Frankly.
I know. I feel bad that she didn't get in there, man, because she's really been having a career year and being just consistent and efficient. So that's a tough one. But she's being a great leader, and I think she's developing in that regard, right? Like, we know what she can do. She can put the ball in the basket. We know that. She can flat out hoop. And she has the experience level, but you know, now she's teaching alongside of being, you know, their leader in scoring and everything else, but she's their leader as, you know, their voice as well. So it's a good thing for everyone, I think, for that team.
Yeah. And Victoria Vivians is playing really well too. And it's just great to see after some injury riddled season. So, you know, Fever, we're not going to talk that much about them, but shouts to you guys, not only for saving me the deep embarrassment of what I was going to have to do if he has won 6 games, but also for developing your franchise in a positive manner. Which, you know, we'll see how it pays off in the coming years. And if they get Aaliyah Boston next year, man, this team's cooking.
Talk about that.
Just throwing that out there. Okay. So that was my 12th spot. Okay. Let's move up to my 11th spot. Okay. I want to say though, I have six teams here. I have six teams in the tier.
In the tier. Okay.
Yeah, in the tier. So in my tiers are basically like, I don't see a ton of difference in here. You know, okay. It's somewhat of a cop out, but it's basically these teams are more or less similar right. in my mind. So I have six teams and they're fighting for three playoff spots.
Okay.
The first one here for me and where I want to start is the Atlanta Dream.
All right.
One of the more confusing teams in the league because they've started out super hot, 4-1 start to the season. Mm-hmm. They've been 6-11 since then, 3-8 in their last 11 games. But they also beat a full strength Seattle team by 14 points in the wire to wire win, right before the All Star break.
Right.
I feel like they may want to be in the lottery more. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with Atlanta, but they are in my 11th spot. But they're in this tier fighting for the 8th seed. So what do you think about the Dream?
Man, you know, I love consistency, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the way that they closed out that first half of the season with that Seattle win, mm-hmm. I think that was very impressive. But now I'm going to be keeping my eyes on them because I want to see, can you do that again, right? Like, can you have that kind of balanced performance that got you that win over a tough team? And, you know, if the answer to that is no, that's going to be a struggle for me. I think, you know, in the last 10 games, you know, or the 11 games, you said 3-8, that's tough. Like, you want to have more consistency with what you are doing well, right?
Right.
And what happens with young teams, they have some young players, but they're very good. Like Ryan Howard, all those guys, man, they're very good players, but you have to be consistently good. That's what the WNBA is all about. Being a pro is, I can't just be good on that one day. And then, you know, in the next week, like have a bunch of losses in a row.
Yeah.
By not doing what got you that win. So let's see if they can sustain themselves. I agree with where you have them, but you know, for me, it's all about consistency of play.
Yeah, no, I think that's really what's lacking from them. And I think they're also just kind of trying to develop people. I mean, you look at this team and you see, and we talked a lot about Naz Hillman before the season. And you see her adding stuff to her game. And I think that's just kind of like the biggest sign that this team is still in development mode is like, you see Naz Hillman standing almost at the 3-point line. Do I wish she was behind the 3-point line in the corner? Yes. But she's kind of in that middle range and she's still working her way back. And she has worked her way back in this season. You know, I think at the beginning of the season, she was spending more of her time in the dunker spot. And then she's taking another step back. Now she's taking another step back. And now she's doing the toe curries named after Mo Curry, affectionately called by Mike Tebow, where her foot's on the line for the three, but they're going in. I think maybe by the end of the season, now she's hitting those threes.
Right.
And I think that's just using that as an example to say this team is still in development mode. And Tiffany Hayes is working her way back. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them fall off the playoff radar. I mean, they have 10 wins. They're in this, and this is the group, folks. The Dream, the Sparks, the Wings, and the Mercury have 10 wins. The Lynx and the Liberty have 9. Right.
Wow.
So it's like all those teams are right there. And I think Atlanta's going to kind of lean more into the development. And I think that'd be kind of a good idea because of a certain someone from South Carolina who we just mentioned will be likely in the 2023 WNBA draft, who, if I was a GM, I would really want on my team. So I just think that's why I have them 11th. I mean, in the bottom of this category here.
Right. No, I agree. And I think, you know, they are in a developmental mode. Mm-hmm. And I know that Naz Hillman, I mean, I saw her from freshman year all the way through her collegiate career at Michigan. I mean, just a fantastic workhorse. I mean, she went from being on the freshman team and being most improved all the way through to being player of the year. Mm-hmm. So this is someone who's going to continue to work. But I also think that, you know, at this professional level, that it's not just her that's in that developmental mode, right? So there are more players on that team that are trying to expand and trying to learn on the fly and trying to, you know, get it done like in games. And, you know, they're getting that opportunity to do that. The same with Indiana, but I think 11 is the proper spot right now for Atlanta until they prove otherwise, you know, and if they can get a jump on this kind of experience that they're gaining, they can get a jump on that and make some wild push. And that remains to be seen, but you know, we've seen other things happen. We've seen Stranger Things or whatever. Everyone's talking about Stranger Things.
We already did the fever section. Sorry.
I know.
Sorry.
We did.
I'm good with 11. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I would love to see Ryan. To me, this is like a no. I think to the Dream as well, there's a somewhat of a no-lose situation. Either we get Ryan Howard in the playoffs, we get to see this team back in the playoffs, or they get back in the lottery and maybe add another future superstar to the team with Ryan Howard, you know, and build around two great players. But I we'll see how they go. Let's keep it moving here. Let's move on to the Mercury. Do we have much more to say on the Mercury?
Oh man, I might have dived into Shields' foul in that second overtime. Oh my God.
Well, it did end up mattering though. It did end up mattering, kind of.
It didn't, but still, I was like, oh my God. Like she knew it too. And it was just.
Do you think it was on purpose? Do you think she was intentionally fouling there? Or do you think she just like was going for the ball and then realized it was a mistake afterwards?
I think she was going for the ball and realized it was a mistake. No. And then Taurasi came over. Like it was like the moment. Like it's like a brain cramp is what I like to call it. Like it just cramped up on you, and you know, like you said, it didn't matter.
Well, it actually did. It did. I don't want to because she fouled out there. She fouled out.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's just those kinds of games where they've had those close games. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of close games. Okay, and they haven't been on the winning side of a lot of those. And that's been frustrating, I'm sure. So I don't know what to say about Phoenix. I mean, I really love watching them play. I know they have the pieces to be better, you know, and down the stretch of games. Better down the stretch of games. That's where you show your mettle. That's where you show, you know, your guts. That's where you show your hard work and practices. By execution.
But you know,
they haven't done that, man. They have not done that in those close games.
In fairness, though, they did keep coming back. You know,
they did.
Against Minnesota in that last game.
They kept
fighting. And it was mostly Sophie Cunningham who was out of her mind.
30.
She had 36.
36. Right. But she was like cooking. Yeah.
She was on fire. She had like two game tying shots at the buzzer. I mean, like she was having a great game. She also wearing the elbow pad, the Barry Bonds elbow pad. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a giant thing. Yeah. So, yeah, good. I'm with you. I mean, I don't have much more to say on the Mercury. I don't know if they can get past the dysfunction on this team. I think they're going to keep trying. I think the bigger problem with this team, honestly, than the dysfunction is that they have, you know, six players really that you would think of as, you know, rotation players in the WNBA. No shade to Rashonda Gray, a player that I really like, but she's more of a eighth, ninth person, and she's their seventh player right now. And you know, you're looking at the minutes for this team, it's just piling up. So we'll see if they're able to stay in shape. I mean, this, you know, it's Diane Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith and apparently Sophie Cunningham is just gonna be like this, regardless of how we feel about her. We'll see. I don't know. If I had to guess, they're going to also fall off, but they have no incentive to, though. Like, they do not have their first round pick. So,
right.
They're going to keep going because they don't have another choice.
Yeah. They have to.
Forward is the only way.
Right.
So that would be my 10th team. Do you have them 10th?
I have them 10th. I agree with that. I think, you know, it's just those close games for me that keeps them at that spot rather than moving them higher. You know, for me, it's just about, I don't want to say buying in because I don't know if that's what it is, but you've got to trust. I think trust is a big word down the stretch. Like you have to trust what's on the board. You have to trust the execution. And I just, you know, especially in those games that they've lost by one or two possessions, they haven't trusted in those instances and haven't come up on the winning side in a lot of those. And so I just want to see more of that from them.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure they're setting and using good screens, make sure they're coming to meet the ball and following the game plan down in those moments. I mean, throughout the game, of course, yes, but down the stretch, you're in an ATO, you got to come out and you got to do that. You got to come out and execute that. And you have to have plan B and C. If they take that first option away, you got to have plan B and C ready to go in motion. And you got to get it done.
Well,
and like, even if you miss that shot, even if you miss that plan C shot, you had the plan C ready.
Well, and I think another part of that, though, is like being tired at the end of the game. So execution suffers when you're tired.
That's
and
true.
They're not like the Aces who, you know, we could talk about the Aces depth problems and we will, but the Aces get up by 20 or 30 points in the first quarter, seemingly all the time. And then they, you know, they can stop teams and then it doesn't really matter as much when the bench comes in or they can get more rest when they're up 20. Right. So I think it's just like, they're too thin for me to believe in them. All right, let's keep it moving here. I have three teams that I have no clue what to do with, frankly. And I want you to pick which team you have in your ninth spot. Actually, you know what? Just rank these three teams for me. That's what I want you to do. Rank these three teams. The New York Liberty.
Okay.
The Dallas Wings.
Okay.
And the Los Angeles Sparks.
I'm going to go the Sparks first.
Okay. So, yeah,
Sparks. And those three.
And those three. Yeah, yeah.
All right. And then I'm going with New York.
Okay.
And then Dallas.
Okay. So that would mean, so Phoenix was 10th.
Mm-hmm.
That means Dallas is ninth, New York is eighth, and LA is seventh.
Yes.
Okay, I agree with that. And do you have, all right, let's just finish off this. Let's just finish off this. Well, kind of. I got to think about it. Because like, I just have them listed here because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And especially after this morning with the Liberty, the team I was talking about when I was talking about the Aces getting up by 20 or 30 points, I was talking about the Liberty because they got up by 30 points in the first quarter and the game was over and they won by 34.
Right.
So, you know, the Liberty have, maybe it's just because it was this morning, but the Liberty have left a bad taste in my mouth right before this podcast. And just for the record, I have the Lynx sixth. So that would that would cap off my tier. So sixth is Minnesota, seventh is LA, eighth is New York, and Dallas in our scenario would be out of the playoff at nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know which team I want to talk. This is so confusing to me. This is so confusing to me because those three teams have so much talent. And just like at least and New York and LA have a lot of injury concerns and we could put it on injuries. Like Dallas doesn't really have that though.
No, they don't.
So, tell me about Dallas. They're 4-9 since a 6-4 start. I don't know what to do with Dallas. I just throw up my hands. Christy, tell me something.
Oh, well, for me, I mean, when the Mystic just played LA, that's the last time I had my eyes on them after the All-Star break. And, you know, they didn't have NECA Gumake because she was out, non-COVID illness, they said, non-COVID. But
now Liz Cambage is out with health in the health and safety protocols tonight.
She's out. Yeah. But I just think, I mean, just the way they were, I mean, with NECA, right? I think right before the All-Star break, I think they were just gaining some footing and getting some traction and getting their chemistry together. So that's why I had them first, just because the momentum seemed to be going their way. But with players in and out, that always makes it tough. We were talking about that, right?
Yeah.
But the health and safety protocol situation, but also the other things as well. Are you good, bud? Okay, sorry.
Do we have an appearance from?
Hey, Jordan, come over here. Come here, 2 seconds. Come here, go.
Do we have an appearance?
Come on. Lean in. Right. Put a hat on. You're fine. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. Doesn't.
But I think
he's too big. He's too big time for us now.
He's
so 25, average of 25 points in the tournament. Yeah. Come on. Too big time for courtside.
He had 34 in the first game. But anyway, he's coming. Anyway. But for LA, I just think, you know, their depth has really shown up. And Shanae got in there, and I think she's been doing a good job getting some double doubles under her belt and really providing that extra punch of offense and boards and defense for that matter. Yeah. Come here though. Yeah, he's not.
He doesn't want to do it.
I try to get him just to put his eyeball in. Eh.
Too big time. We need to sign him up to an NIL deal. That's good. That's good business, Jordan. That's good business. Don't put your face in anything unless they're paying you.
There you go. We cut the corner now. It's fine. But with Dallas though, I just think, you know, it's almost been like, and that's no shade, you know, intended. But with Dallas, it just seems like they have been in the same place for three seasons. Am I wrong?
Mm-mm, you are not.
I feel like I'm wrong. Okay. So I just feel like we say the same thing, like, hey, they're just about to turn the corner. They're just right there, right at the edge of it, you know, trying to get in the playoffs. And right here, we're saying they're nine, mm-hmm. right outside the playoffs yet again, with the same team, basically. And I know Satu has been out with the knee and all that, and they're trying to get her back in and chemistry wise and figuring that back out. I get it, but can't keep saying the same thing about the same team. That's how I feel.
And how much is this about Arike Ogunbowale? Because you know, you look at her stats and you look at her play. And she's an awesome basketball player. I'm not trying to say she's not. She's an awesome basketball player. She's super fun to watch and she's a great scorer. She just hasn't evolved into the player that I think this team needs to have in order to be successful, because she's what this team is built around, right? And Satu's been hurt, and yeah. that's been a huge hindrance on this franchise development. No doubt about it, like for sure.
Yeah.
But you look at this team and it's like Arike kind of has to evolve and just do a little bit more. And, you know, if she wasn't so great, maybe we don't have this complaint, right? Of like,
right.
If you didn't see how great she could be, we wouldn't be saying that what she's doing is not enough, but we do see that. We do see how great she could be. And she needs to be doing more for this team in different ways. You know, she has to be more of a facilitator. She has to take less efficient, like cut out those bad jumpers that she takes, and she just doesn't do it. And to me, I think that's why this team has felt stagnant over the years.
Right.
And I totally agree with you. Like I wouldn't be surprised if they get into the playoffs, and I don't really know what their schedule is like. I didn't do all that for this one. And they have three games against Chicago. They have other games against Las Vegas. Like it's not an easy schedule by any means. But it just with you feels a little stagnant, and I don't know if changes are in the fold this summer or this winter. Sorry, if we do it in the winter.
Yeah, that's just how I feel about them. And you know, it just makes it tough, because if you are a player like Arike Ogunbowale, and you know that you know the ball's gonna be in her hands in a close game in the last minutes, in the last seconds, and you're that big game player. It's just, I know it's probably frustrating, you know, when it comes down to it.
Okay, talk me off the ledge for New York, because I'm worried. I've been in on this team for a while. I've been saying a lot about this team. I really like this team. They've been hurt the entire season, and that is really tough. I mean, Rebecca Allen just came back. Jocelyn Willoughby may come back. Benaja Laney may come back. Benaja has been out for most of the season. She's either their best player or their second or third best player. Like, she's a huge part of this team.
Right.
That being said, they played some pretty good basketball before the break. They were 8-6 after that disastrous 1-7 start, got themselves back in the mix. Sabrina Ionescu, unbelievable. Maureen Johannes was awesome. Han Ju has been phenomenal.
Yes.
And they made a huge impact on this team. But like, you can't get blown out by 34 points the morning of a podcast and expect me to like that's why I think I have Dallas in front of New York, honestly. Despite everything I just said, I think I have Dallas in front of New York, because it's just to get down so early in the games. That's like, I don't know. I mean, the bad times that I watch them are so bad, and the good times I watch them are so good. I don't know what to do. So talk me off the ledge here. Could you please?
Oh man, I don't know if I can after what happened today. But just, you know, that goes back to what I said about being consistent. Like, you've got to be on it. And that's why you're a pro. That's why you play sports. It's like to be consistent. And I think, you know, I don't know what the deal was for them to just lay that egg like that. But I don't know if I'm doing a good job talking about the Leds, Gabe, but I just think they have the pieces. They have the pieces, and they've shown themselves at their best. They can be a problem. So for me, I'm still going to, you know, give them that respect, you know, and what they've shown in the past. But, you know, what have you done for me lately? And lately, this last game was what we've seen, you know, most recently. And that was just really disappointing, to say the least.
Like, you can't put everything on injuries, because that's not how this works. But you can't ignore the injuries. It's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating.
Right.
Because I want to see this team succeed. I want to see Sabrina play multiple playoff games. I want to see Natasha Howard back in the playoffs, where her skills are going to be even more valuable than they are in the regular season.
Right.
Major Hannes has been awesome. I want them to succeed, but I can't believe in them at the moment. So Los Angeles, I'm going to be honest, when I did this before the All-Star break, when I thought we were doing this last year, I had them behind those two teams. And my first line in like my little note here is, maybe I'm just a hater. And maybe I am just a hater.
Hashtag maybe I'm just a hater.
Maybe I'm just a hater. I don't know. I mean, they're 5-7. The record with Derek Fisher as a coach is 5-7. The record since Derek Fisher got fired is now 5-6. So do it that way. I mean, again, as you mentioned, Nneka Ogumike has been phenomenal.
She has.
But I don't know. Do you have anything you want to say about Los Angeles?
I mean, I don't know. I just think that they have, you know, if they bear down and stay healthy, I think they could be a team that could contend this year. But they've got to be on it. They've got to be
contend for what?
Contend for a deep run in the playoffs.
Okay. Not for
to be clear. Because I'd say, you know, I just think, you know, on paper, before the season started, you see all the players going there, and then, you know, Carter's out, and then now Neko's out, now Cambage is going to be out, and this is not the time for that, and you can't plan for that, and this is no one's fault, obviously, with injuries and all that stuff, but I'm like, man, on paper, I'm thinking this team is going to be deep into the playoffs and all of that. Once they come together with their chemistry, and they just haven't been afforded that opportunity because of all the injuries and stuff. So and that's just where I am with them. But I still have hope that, you know, that they can get themselves back together in enough time to make a strong push.
Here's my plea for all three of these teams. Two of you, get your stuff together, figure it out. One of you, just be bad. So then I don't have to be this confused. That's all I want. Like, I don't care what you guys do. I hope you guys all have fun playing basketball, but like, I don't want to be this confused anymore. So one team just completely fall off the face of the planet, lose your next four games, and I don't have to worry about you. And the other two teams go on a winning streak, and then we don't have to worry. Then we're good. Then the playoff race is set, and I don't have to have this massive six team tier. Although I want to move out to the last team in this tier, who I almost had in a tier by themselves, and even almost had in a tier with the Washington Mystics above them. It's the 9-win Minnesota Lynx.
Okay.
Because it turns out that having Sylvia Fowles healthy on your team greatly improves your chances at winning.
How about that?
Who would have thunk it?
How about that?
Because they were 3-9 before her injury, but they also had a lot of other injuries strewn about in there. Then they were 1-4 while she was out. And now they're 5-2 since she came back. And beyond Sylvia Fowles being back, I think the biggest development for this team is another courtside favorite, Ariel Powers, has decided to be the all-star that we've all seen in her.
A rock star.
Just unbelievably talented. And she's putting that all to good use, like just making really good decisions. Her turnover rate, her assist to turnover ratio is at its highest point it's ever been. She's really taken on that lead guard.
Yes. Spot,
which is what they want. They wanted for her, but when the move happened that she went to Minnesota, we're both a little concerned about her turnovers, and she's really gotten that down. And it's just like great to see, because this is exactly the player we thought she could be for them. So I think they're great. I think if they stay healthy the rest of the season, they're way closer to the Mystics than they are to the rest of this group.
Yeah, I agree. And they're playing great basketball right now. I think, you know, they're playing like grinded out hoops. And that's always, that's going to take you further than anything, like your attitude and mentality. And I think right now the Lynx have that attitude and mentality. And whether it's, we're going to do this for a big sale, or, hey, we're just coming together at the right time, or a little bit of both. I think they're showing that. I think they're displaying that. And they're coming into D.C. on Sunday for Sill's last game in D.C. So I think, you know, there's a lot of that, I think, that'll fuel a team. Sometimes you just need a reason. Sometimes I was concerned if I didn't have butterflies in my stomach, you know, before a game, I'm like, man, I gotta hold on to something. So they have some things that they can grab onto that can, you know, motivate them and fire them up and keep that engine running. And I think right now their engine is running on a high level. And a lot of that is due to Ariel Powers and the energy that she brings to a room and to a stadium.
She's just been awesome.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you saw this, but Nafisa Collier is like at practice. She's not practicing. I don't know. All we know is we saw a picture of her in practice gear at practice.
Right.
She had her baby. She had a child. I don't know how.
Like a month ago.
Like a month ago. Wait, a month ago?
Wait, what are we in July?
We're in July. I think
she had the baby in May, maybe.
Wow.
I'm thinking it was May. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if she can come back that fast. If there's anyone that can do it, obviously she is hurt. That is one of the players you would bet on. So I don't know. We'll see if she comes back and she's playing somewhat like her normal self. I mean, this team to me is the wild card of the WNBA down the stretch.
I agree with that.
Right? Like this team is.
Yeah.
If I told you, and I hold on, I'm gonna grab a little sticky note. I have to move my camera. I should have thought about this. So when the Lynx were bad, if you recall, I said on May 15th that the Lynx will be in the playoffs. My handwriting's terrible. I'm sorry about that. But I done said it. I said it, folks, that the Lynx are gonna be in the playoffs, and it's looking like that's gonna happen. And if Nafisa Collier comes back, this team's even better. So I'm really excited for them, and I'm happy. Turns out, you know, hey, Sylvia Fowles, Ariel Powers, Kayla McBride, Cheryl Reeve. Yep. It's pretty good basketball team. Not bad. Let's talk about our hometown team, Mystics. I have them in this tier by themselves at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth spot. I think that's pretty much where everyone has them, because you look at this team and I have, so we're getting into my favorite spot. So I have one, my first category is favorites I trust. My second category is favorites I don't trust. And then my third category is favorites when Elena Deladon plays. This team is almost unstoppable. 13-4 with Elena Deladon. 3-6 without Elena Deladon. She's playing tonight in Phoenix, which is great to see on the West Coast road trip, going on a flight, seeing how her body reacts to that. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. But look, if the EDD plays, I don't want to be like too simplistic about this because there's so much cool stuff going on with the Mystics, but it really does boil down to having one of the best players, if not the best player on the planet, playing for your team is going to greatly improve your chances of winning.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. You know, Tiana Hawkins is the player who is kind of that linchpin, if you will, who gets a lot of playing time when Deladon is out. And when Deladon is playing, doesn't really see a lot of time, but she's good with that. I mean, everyone has bought into their role for this team, and for Deladon to have 26 in that LA game, man, that she was just phenomenal and tough to stop and just doing what she does well. And for her ability to pass the ball, you know, Mike Tebow post game said, you know, I saw Elena Deladon running point guard in eighth grade. Yeah. And she was making some incredible passes. So it's not outside of her skill set or wheelhouse to be able to make plays that she's making now, because she's drawing so much defensive attention, but she can make plays and make those great passes to her teammates in viable positions to score. So I just think for me, I know you have them at five, but I just think she's not going to miss any more. I don't know how many more games she's going to miss. I think she said she's in for the stretch run now. Okay. And the first part of the season was when, she, you know, those games, those nine games, I guess, that she was out, that she was going to, you know, not have that in the second half of the season. And she did that so that she could make the stretch run, you mm-hmm. know, without having to take games off. So with that in mind, I would like to move them higher than five.
Okay. Where are you putting them?
I would like to move them higher than five. And I would like to maybe just go ahead and push them to three.
To three. Ooh.
Push them to three. I have Vegas, Chicago, Washington. Boom, boom, boom.
Vegas, Chicago, Washington.
There it is.
We have a vastly different top four. We're going long, folks.
I said it.
We're going long.
Think with Deladon, you said they're 13-4 with her.
Yeah.
And I just think if she's not going to miss any games in the second half of the season, I mean.
I kind of view this as like a, I don't know how people look at like power rankings. Everyone does them kind of differently. I kind of look at this, and I think you kind of look at this too, is like who, if we had a playoff series right now between these teams, who would I favor? And so in that regard, I definitely think if Atlanta Deladon's playing, I probably would favor the Mystics over some of these, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe a couple teams ahead of them. But we do have to kind of, you know, prepare for the potential, as we have with this team all season, that, hey, maybe it doesn't happen. Although it's looking great. It's feeling great. But we've been here before. We've seen the movie. I've seen the movie. Maybe this one has a different ending. Maybe the sequel has a different ending. But I saw the movie and it hurt my feelings. So I don't want to get like too high up, but I think I'm with you. I mean, like, this team is, if Atlanta Deladon's healthy and they're rolling, this team is a championship contender for sure.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, I would like to see some more consistency from Aisha Hines Allen. Mm-hmm. I like to see some more consistency from Shatori Walker Kimbrough. I like to see Natasha Cloud get back into her shooting rhythm that she was in at the early, in beginning of the season, although she's doing mm-hmm. so much for this team that I think it's fine. They'll survive with her shooting how she is. And you know, I'd want Ariel Atkins to get to the rim a little bit more. I've said that a few times.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest point, and you hit the nail on the head, is that everyone on this team understands their role and also how their role gets them to a championship.
Yes.
Because pretty much everyone on this team has played on a championship team outside of Shakir Austin. But I honestly don't think any situation has ever scared a Shakir Austin. She just seems like that kind of person. Like, she doesn't care. So it's like, tell me what to do. I'll do it. And like, we're cool. Like, it's fine. So I don't think she's going to be a problem in the playoffs. But I think that's a huge factor for me. And I think it's going to be a huge factor for the Mystics going forward, is they understand their roles and how their roles correspond to get to a championship. And that's what may separate them from some teams ahead of them.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, that depth, that bench mob, if you will, that Washington has, they've got to come up big. Mm-hmm. You know, they thrive in those moments where they can just come at you in waves. And when everyone is clicking on all cylinders, it's really pretty basketball. And I think, you know, Washington has shown, you know, in their last couple of games, right before the break and in that LA game most recently, that they can depend upon the bench to come in and really provide that punch that they need to get them over the hump. And, you know, not just offensively speaking, I mean, this is the second best defensive team in the league.
Yeah.
And Natasha Cloud said after the game in LA the other night, or morning, if you will, it was almost 1 a.m. but she said, you know, we're second in defensive efficiency. We want to be first.
Right.
So with them still fighting to be first in defensive efficiency, I think really says a lot about this team too. You know, they've bought into the defensive energy and intensity necessary to win games. And they know that's what it took to win the championship in 2019. So there are enough players there who can, you know, make sure that that kind of culture is their personality for the remainder of this season.
No, I think they are, again, stay healthy. They're gonna be in that championship mix. Okay, now I have a tier here, and now this is what I was mentioning. I want to do the four teams that we have, right?
Okay.
We have four teams left. These are the favorites for me.
Okay.
This is like, and in the Mystics too. It's just I had to talk about them in a different tier because of my whole ridiculous thing. All right, so I have my favorites that I trust. And my favorites that I do not trust.
All right.
Shockingly, the favorites that I trust are the two teams that have won championships in this grouping. So I go Chicago 1, Seattle 2.
Okay.
Then in another tier, My favorites I don't trust, and that'd be the Las Vegas Aces and the Connecticut Sun.
Wow.
Las Vegas at 3, Connecticut Sun at 4. And it's not that I don't trust them to win basketball games. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't trust them to win their semifinal series or win the final. Like, I don't trust them to win the finals.
Okay.
Because of certain structural flaws that they have, and because I just haven't seen them do it. And that's such a big deal for me. And I, you know, I don't want to be the rings, like, you know, rings guy. Like, you show me the rings, but like, it matters, right? Like, I'm not making this up, that it definitely matters. When you win a championship, you know what it took to get there.
Yes.
And that matters greatly to me.
It does.
So that's why I have those two teams at the top two and have the other two teams at 3 and 4.
I understand.
Could you rank the top five, those top five teams for me, just so I have what you got?
For me, I am going Vegas.
Vegas 1.
Chicago.
Okay.
Washington.
Okay.
Seattle.
Okay.
Wait, and what's my fifth one?
Do you have Connecticut?
Who am I missing? Oh, Connecticut. Oh, wow. Okay. Wait. Okay, wait. It has to be like that. There it is. Connecticut.
All right. So we disagree on really Seattle and Vegas seems to be our bigger disagreements here. I would say those two teams are our bigger disagreements. Let's start with Vegas. Okay. So you have them 1, and they're still on top of the standings.
Yes.
17-6.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They are tied in the win column with Chicago. Okay. 17, the Vegas at 17-7, Chicago's at 17-6. Chicago plays tonight. Here's my problem with the Aces, right? And this is going to sound pretty hollow because they just won a game by 34 points.
Yeah.
In which they only allowed 72 points scored.
Yeah.
However, over the last 5 games, not including this morning, their defensive rating was 120, which is absurd. And the defense has kind of been a mess since that really great stretch at the beginning of the season.
True.
They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And I'm just getting a little worried about their defense and their depth. So tell me why you weren't as concerned about that.
Because they've scored 3 consecutive games over 100 points.
Oh, fair enough.
They're getting buckets, man. They're scoring the ball. And I know, you know, the defense right now isn't probably what they wanted to be, but I don't know. At the same time, you got to be able to score the ball. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able, like I said all throughout this pod, that you have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And if you can get over 100 points in 3 games, I think, you know, you found your offensive chemistry. I think that, you know, when you are playing with that level of fierceness on the offensive side, that kind of takes away some errors, if you will, on the defensive side. So I'm going with their offensive prowess right now, taking them over the top.
Okay. If you want to tell me this team is going to just drop, you know, 100 plus points on every team that play in the playoffs, I believe you. I just think when it comes down to the playoffs, your depth doesn't matter quite as much, first and foremost.
Right.
And I said that before. So I think that's less of a concern. I'd love to see Ileana Repair become a bigger part of this team and, you know, continue to grow. She could be a big part of their what they're doing in the second half of the season. The reason why I say depth is a concern is just because if you're playing a lot in the home stretch of the season, trying to get the 1 seed or whatever, you're going to be tired when the playoffs comes. And we've seen that with teams that don't have as much depth.
True.
And I just think in the playoffs, you're going to run into teams that can stop you.
Right.
You're going to play a team like Chicago, who has everything in the toolbox to stop you defensively. You're going to play a team like Washington, who has, for quarters and halves at the time, has stopped this Vegas team.
Yeah.
You're going to play a team like Seattle, who also has everything in the toolbox, and Connecticut, right? Like, all 5 of these teams have a good enough defense to slow you down. So in those games where you're being slowed down offensively, where you're missing a few more shots than you normally do, can you make up those stops on the other end?
Big question.
I just don't know if that's the case. And that's why I have them in this group of teams I don't trust, because I don't think, I don't know if they can do, if they can raise their defensive level to a point that it can overcome some of these other great defensive teams.
Right. No, that's a great point. And I mean, you got to be able to do more than score. And I get that. But at the same time, if you can outscore, I know, right? If you can outscore your opponents and get that.
That is the point of the game.
Those hundos. But I'm saying you get those hundos in three consecutive games. I mean, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, but they lost one of them.
Right.
They lost one of them. And all three of them were against New York, a team that we just talked about. Right. And, you know, they have had some success scoring against some of the better teams in the league. You know, I don't think they're going to be completely shut down, but it's just like, can you win a game when you score, you know, 77 points?
Right.
That's really my question. And to me, the answer is, I don't know. Maybe it's yes, maybe it's not. But look, Ace is having a phenomenal season. Kelsey Plum has been unbelievable. Asia Wilson.
Insane.
Either the MVP favorite or one of in the small group of favorites for the MVP. But you know, I think it's, we'll see. I don't quite trust them. Who do you want to talk about now? Do you want to talk about Chicago, Seattle, or Connecticut?
Chicago.
Chicago.
I don't know.
I mean, this team's awesome.
I just for Chicago, I just think, you know, the way that they came from a six seed and won the championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you've already just said this, like, you, if you've done it before, you know the blueprint. I just think this team is scary right now. Like, with Emma Mieseman also on board, who had a win, won a championship in D.C. in 2019. So that team, to me, I mean, if Vegas falters defensively down the stretch, I mean, Chicago's right there. And they have like that strong momentum and confidence because of what they were able to do last year with the addition of Emma Mieseman. And so to me, that's where I stand with that team. Like, I'm side-eyeing them. Like, they're on the move. Like, I wouldn't be surprised because of what they did last year and how they did it last year too.
And that's I mean, to me, that's why I have them first. It's just like,
yeah,
there's something that's different when you come off a championship. There's something that's different. Off a championship, everyone has a lot more, you know, a lot more oomph. They just have you have a lot more confidence. You know exactly what you did. You don't have to worry about it. And, you know, they don't have anyone on this team that's like really trying to prove themselves. You know, people got paid. Right. It doesn't seem like there's no like disease of me or disease of more. Like,
I talk about it.
They know what they're doing. Their coaching staff knows what they're doing. Emma has fit in perfectly. Like, we kind of knew she would, right? Like, and this is not, and the big piece they added is a player that knows what it takes to win a championship too. So look, this team's going to be awesome. I don't think they're not like, no one's unstoppable. And I think that's what's really fun. That's what's really fun about the season. These five teams, if you told me any one of these five teams beat one of the other five teams in the playoffs, I'd be like, yeah, that's not crazy. Like, it's not crazy.
Like, it's fine. Right.
And it's just like the closest thing though to the unstoppable force in this league right now, to me, in my opinion, would be Chicago, just because of the way Candace is playing, because the way Emma's playing, how together they are and how much they know what they're doing. I hope that doesn't like immediately mean that they're going to lose their next game, because that would seem very on brand. That would seem very on brand for me. So I think Chicago's great. Chicago and Vegas. We need a playoff series between these two teams, because we didn't get it. We did not get it last year. So we need a playoff series between these two teams.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I just think that, you know, they have what it takes, man. You know, they have that oomph, like you said, that moxie. And that's hard to coach against, you know, because a lot of it is, you know, broken plays, making great reads because of their great experience with one another, and players who know how to get the job done. So, yeah. It's intriguing.
All right, let's talk about Seattle or Connecticut. You pick.
Let's go with Seattle.
Let's go Seattle.
Seattle.
All right, so the reason I had Seattle second is because in their last five games before the All-Star break, because that's when I did all this research and I didn't really have time to redo it today. 16.6 net rating. That's very good, folks. That is very good. I think, you know, their defense is unbelievable. I think Ezzie Magruder has just taken this giant leap forward on defense. It's not a giant leap forward. It's just another leap forward on defense. She's looking like she's one of the defensive player of the year candidates, maybe even the favorite, depending on who you talk to. She's been unbelievable. Breanna Stewart, obviously doing her thing. Jewel Lloyd, Sue Bird, again, another team where it's like, oh, right, all of these names have been to the mountaintop and understand what they're doing.
A couple times.
The wild card here is Team Charles, who both may be the answer to a lot of their issues and a potential problem. I think she'll be an answer because she does she can provide bench scoring, and I think she's embraced her role. And if that happens, that's great, because then she can sop up those minutes and give Stewie rest and give Ezzie rest and be able to work on this team.
Right.
And she's not cutting into Ezzie's minutes at the moment, which is fantastic. And I think in the playoffs, you know, she's going to be more of a bit player and just like offensive injection. And they are going to need that at times in the playoffs. And I think she could be huge for them. So that's why I think Seattle is second, because I just trust their system. It doesn't seem like Tina Charles has rocked the boat. So I trust them. Why do you have them fourth?
Because, man, I think there's been some boat rocking.
Okay.
I don't know. I just think you're trying to get the minutes in there for Tina Charles at this juncture of the season. And okay, it hasn't been a disruption yet. But I just think I coached for a long time. And I don't know if I was any good or whatever. But
she was good, folks.
I will say as the season goes along, and coaches out there, you guys know, that rotation tightens up. Okay. And I don't know who's like, if you have to tighten up Seattle's rotation, who do you start with? Like, in terms to of take minutes from.
Okay.
And give more minutes to.
That
adds into that formula.
I'm taking minutes from Tina. I mean, she played 23 minutes in the last game. I'm not taking minutes from Stephanie Talbot. Stephanie Talbot's been awesome. Sneakily awesome. That's like good. Really, really good. So Talbot stays on the floor as much. Maybe, I mean, you know, in the last game, Gabby Williams only played 17 minutes. And I think they're just they're flexible in that regard. But yes, if you're asking me if we need to take minutes away from someone and give them someone else, I'm taking minutes away from Tina Charles and giving them to Ezzie Magruder. And that would be, I don't know, probably like roughly like 4 minutes a game, 5 minutes a game in that exchange there.
How do you think she's going to feel about that?
She's here for the ring.
It's fine.
Well, you pull out the rings, right? If she comes knocking on the door, you go, hey, and she's going to come knocking. I guess let's put Sue Bird in the seat where Tina Charles is complaining to. Sue can say, hey, look, these are all of my rings. Do you want one? Do you want one? I can loan you one if you don't want to be here. I can just loan you one. You can hang out with it. Or you can stay here and not be a problem, and we can win a title right now. So I think it's a pretty good, easy sell to say, hey, Tina, like,
easy sell.
This is a place you can win a championship. You just have to do what we're telling you because we know how to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I agree. Oh, that's period, point blank, the end right there. Right? You just said. And I hope it would be as seamless as that.
I hope so too. And this is.
So that's why I have that.
Because the monkey wrench, the potential monkey wrench.
Potential.
Yeah. Right. It's, exactly. Tina could be both the solution and the source of all of these all of the problems for the Seattle Storm.
That's what I'm saying.
So far, she's been more of a solution. I'm banking on that.
Okay.
Now let's get to Connecticut. Connecticut, interesting team. I mean, we saw them at the beginning of the season as the favorite. Obvious reasons. I mean, they brought back this team that has been this team for a while now, right?
Yeah.
They lose Jasmine Thomas. And they haven't, you know, they haven't like completely fallen off the map. They haven't like, you know, been terrible. Their offense has been bad. Third worst offense in the last five games. Courtney Williams is their only player shooting over 30% in the last five games before the All-Star break. They need one of these guards to step up, I think. Natisha Heidemann, Carrington, maybe even Nia Cloudon, my sweet Nia Cloudon. one of these players to step up because they just have a thin rotation and they need one guard that they can count on in one more guard that they can count on. I just don't know if they're going to get that. So that's why, actually, you haven't said anything, but you convinced me. I'll put the Mystics ahead of this.
I got him, y'all.
I'll put the Mystics ahead of this one.
I got him. That 13-4 EDD that was sitting in your head.
There it is. They're moving ahead. Okay. But now explain to me, why did you have them at 5?
Because of Jasmine Thomas being out.
Fair enough.
I mean, I just think, you know, last year, I think that was their moment. And not that this year can't be, okay? Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong. But I think last year with them getting the coach of the year, most improved, Bree Jones, MVP, you know, with Jonquel Jones, they just had everything right there. And I don't know, like just to have Jasmine Thomas out now, they're going to need her and they're going to need her decision-making down the stretch. And they're not going to have that. And right now, like you said, they haven't fallen off per se without her. But I think, you know, as the season gets strained and all of a sudden now we're trying to make this push to the playoffs, I think you're really going to miss the services of Jasmine Thomas.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, when you get down to the playoffs,
yeah,
any little weak spot you got,
that's what I'm saying,
it's coming up. It's coming up. Teams are going to attack it, and teams are going to force the best teams, the teams in this conversation, are going to force Natisha Heidemann to be a major factor in how the game goes. They're going to force Dejanay Carrington to be a major factor in how this game goes, or Nia Claudin. But as much as I like Nia Claudin, I wouldn't want to put a rookie in that situation. So, yeah, I'm a little worried. But then again, from the flip side, right? Look at DeJuana Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, Jonquel Jones, Brianna Jones, a player we just praised, like
Tuffy,
and then Courtney Williams having a nice season.
Cheers.
That's a team that can really compete. So, I don't know. I'll have them at 5. But if you again, this is the whole thing. If I told you the Connecticut Sun won the championship, would you be that surprised?
No. Was that too fast of an answer?
No, I think it's the right answer.
I wouldn't be surprised. And I want the best for them, trust and believe. But it's just, you know, when you look at what it takes to win a championship, and like you said, opponents in the top 5 in the league, they're going to exploit the fact that they don't have Jasmine Thomas out there. And I'm not saying it offensively. I mean, defensively, you're going to exploit that too, right? Yeah. Like you can do more things without Jasmine Thomas on the floor. You can do more things defensively without having to have to cover a player like that. So you can double some more. You can do other, you know, add more wrinkles to what you're doing on your defensive side. But on the offensive end for Connecticut, I think they're really going to miss her. That's all. I don't know why I keep saying that, but I just feel like that's a big piece of their puzzle of success. And without her there, I just think it's going to be tougher, but not impossible, which is why I was not slow to say I wouldn't be surprised if they win it all.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned that her presence will be a clear detriment down the stretch.
Well, you know, it's crazy. Here's the craziest part of all of this.
That's the craziest part.
One of these teams is not making it out of the first round of playoffs. One of these 5 teams that I think we both and many people would label as favorites or contenders or whatever verbiage you want to use in the top, one of these teams is not making it out of the first round. And currently the first round matchup is the matchup that would be with these two teams would be the Connecticut Sun and the Washington Mystics.
Oof.
That's a first round matchup, man.
Wow.
That's crazy. This playoffs is going to be insane. Home stretch is going to be insane.
It is.
I don't know. We're gonna find out a lot here in the next couple weeks too. Maybe we'll revisit this before we get to the playoffs.
I think a lot of things can change too. So, you know, we definitely have to keep our eyes on on a team like Vegas, like, is your defense going to do you in, or can you continue to score at a high clip?
Maybe Skylar Diggins Smith just got traded to one of these teams, and you know, we have to redo this whole thing next week.
Redo it all.
But yeah, just shouts to the Indiana Fever, though. My favorite team in the league. Thank you for not winning any games. Really, really made my.
Not mine. We needed that, man. We gotta put something else up.
We'll figure out something. We'll figure out some playoff stuff.
Yeah, we definitely have to do that.
But yeah, I think that's interesting power rankings. I'll have in the description of the podcast and on YouTube, I'll put just a list. So yeah. don't look in the description. Actually, it's probably too late. If you've looked in the description, you've already done it. So there'll be spoilers down there of our rankings, but you know, really, really interesting and really fascinating end to the season. I think this is one of the better stretch runs we're going to see here in the last few weeks, and one of the best playoffs I think we're ever going to see in WNBA.
Agreed. I think there's just so much balance this season and parity with teams and top teams getting upset, and you know, the teams in the bottom tier that you have, you know, taking those top teams out. So I think it's going to be really challenging for everyone, but I also love the fact that Kathy Engelbert said that they're going to charter during the playoffs this year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I had that.
I think that'll be a great big,
well, no, the chartering for the finals.
For the finals. But I think that's going to be a, you know, baby steps. I got too fast for myself, but baby steps count, right? So they're hearing the players. They're doing what they can when they can. So it's the finals this year. Maybe next year it'll be the playoffs. And then after that, it'll be all of the games. So, you know, they're just trying to manage it all. So shout out to Kathy Engelbert for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd just cheat. If I was the Mystics, I'd just be like, you know, we're using the charter plane for the rest of the playoffs. If you want to fine us, you can fine us. We know what the fine is. We can afford it. Ted Leontis
can be there.
Ted Leontis can afford it. He's good for it. I'm sure. So I just charter for the rest for the pool playoffs about the Mystics especially, but
yeah,
that's all I got. I think power rankings were really interesting. If we had a lot of disagreements though, we really disagreed.
Yeah, we did, but that's good. You know, it's healthy conversation, the mental gymnastics of it all. I'm here for it at all times, but I guess they're cutting the lights out on us, Gabe. So we got to get up out of here. We don't have to go home, but we got to leave out of here.
We're already home.
I know we are home. That's gonna do it. That's fine. But that's gonna do it for Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.